Hello out there, all you filthy animals. This is Aya Freak, and you're listening to Wrestle Life Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Life Radio. My name is Matt Sin, and this is Indie Focus. This is the show where we sit down with someone who is working or has worked in independent wrestling, and we learn more about them. Hashtag support indie wrestling. And today, we're here with Mr. Alex Knight. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Doing good, doing good. And don't adjust the sound. I realize the voice sounds familiar, but it's not Aiden. This is actually Aiden's twin brother.
It's a magic trick. It's fantastic. I love it.
It is a magic trick. But when I first heard you, I'm like, this is Aiden playing a trick on me. Like, it is very similar, man. It's kind of crazy.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. We're able to mess with plenty of folk. As long as you don't see us. Once you see us and you see the difference in the hair, it blows the whole gimmick.
You can definitely tell. And you guys, like, you're twins, so you look identical. You're identical twins, but you do have some nuances in your face where people that really know you, they can tell.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to get up close and you have to, you know, pick out certain little nuances. I mean, the facial hair and the, you know, the long hair that I have with my dreads and my brother's mohawk, always, you know, some new color. It definitely is a good distraction that sort of takes away from that and kind of hides up those subtle differences we have. But yeah. If you definitely get close enough to us, and you can find them.
That's cool. So tell me, before we actually get into the wrestling, because we're going to talk about that for a while, tell me a little bit about some other things you're into.
Oh, goodness. I do so many different things. I play a healthy bit of Dungeons and Dragons.
I
play with my brother. Yeah. I'm sure he's told you all about it. Also get my hands into some League of Legends when I can. Currently right now working on a project. I've got a business that I'm working on building. It's a Nightmare Customs. I'm doing tabletop miniatures. I have a couple 3D printers that I print up models and paint them myself, and currently working on a 12x40 shed that I bought and building a workshop in there. So that takes up a good bit of time.
That's really cool. Tell me a little bit more about that, because I'm a big D&D nerd. So you literally, like, do you design the minis as well, or do you, like, pay a fee to be able to use them, or what?
So, unfortunately, I have not gotten into 3D modeling as much as I would like to, but I stumbled upon a few Patreons of some companies that I really enjoy the models that they have. And I was lucky enough to get merchandise tiers with two of the companies. Cool. So I have merchant rights to be able to print and sell the models that they create. And it's nice because I can always print up a few for myself and keep them here on the shelf, which is very quickly filling.
Yeah.
As I get anywhere between 60 to 80, sometimes even up to 100 models, new models every month from the three companies that I'm with.
That's crazy. Now, how long does it take to paint them? Now, a mini, now I know, but for our listeners that don't play D&D, tell me about the size of a standard mini.
So most of the miniatures that we use for tabletop gaming are based on millimeter scales, and they are around 25 millimeters for the standard mini, which is about an inch, about an inch wide from side to side. And some of them stand, you know, 2 to 3 inches tall, but they're honestly not too big as far as the smaller creatures. I do have some that are large, where, you know, the base itself is 4 inches wide and the piece itself stands, you know, 6 inches or higher.
Yeah.
But the standard pieces are based on that 1 inch scale.
How long does it take you to paint a mini?
It all depends. I do try to budget my time well and sit down when I do paint and grab 5 or 6 models that I know are going to have a similar palette, at least that I can sort of work with and be efficient, you know, finish a coat on this miniature and then pass it off to the next one and just sort of work in cycles. But it usually takes me for like a standard, like what somebody would use for a hero, one of the player characters. I could get something done in 2 to 3 hours, just depending on the intricacies of what's all involved.
See, that's crazy to me. Like, and I'm not exaggerating much, dude, I can't draw a straight line. So the fact that anyone can paint these little bitty teeny things since so intricate and so well, like, it just blows my mind.
Well, it's something that I just sort of stumbled on. When the pandemic hit, I was just trying to think to myself, like, all right, I've been doing residential commercial painting since I was 17. I want to figure out if I can paint for a hobby. Let's try it out. And I was just getting into D&D at the time, and my brother goes, I have some minis if you want to try to paint those. And I'm looking at them like, man, these things are tiny, but sure, I'll give it a shot. And I painted up about a dozen of them, and I took them back over to him, and he was like, dude, you need to have made cards yesterday. Like, these are awesome. This is your first paint. These are your first paint jobs? No. And it's just something that I've just kind of taken the time. I've spent a lot of time at YouTubeversity trying to absorb as much information and, you know, learn different techniques from people that have had experience with it. Yeah. And it's just something I enjoy. And apparently I've found that I've had a pretty good knack for it.
That's really cool, man. That's really awesome. Well, I know we're going to talk about all your social media at the end, but let's go ahead and talk about that right now. Where can we find Nightmare Customs?
So on Facebook, I am facebook.com/Nightmare Customs. It's KNIGHTMARE Customs. Spell it like the tag team name.
Right.
And we are also on Instagram with the same name, Nightmare Customs.
All right.
Cool. The Instagram is sort of still under construction, so it's a work in progress, but it'll be up here pretty soon. Maybe by the time this posts, we'll see.
Now, just to confirm, it's Nightmare_Customs on Instagram, and I know that because Aiden's following it, and I'm following Aiden. So there you go.
There you go. Awesome. Looking out. Cool. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, dude. So let's talk about some wrestling.
Let's do it.
So when you were a kid, did you watch a lot of wrestling?
Pretty good bit.
Yeah?
Pretty good bit. It was a good time with, you know, my older siblings. My older brother watched a healthy bit of it. And then when we got into it, we had friends at school that watched as well. So it was just, it was always sort of a constant.
That's cool. Were you a WWF or WCW kid?
WWF.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense because that's what Aiden said. See, yeah. I was always a WCW guy, but I didn't get into WWE until, probably 2003.
Yeah, and see, I wasn't making it to WCW until in the early 2000s. I wasn't really making my way over there just with the influence of my older siblings kind of being the ones with the remote.
Yeah.
You watched what was on TV.
Exactly. So who were some of your favorites growing up?
Oh, man. I really enjoyed some of the smaller guys. Naturally, the Hardy Boys, the eccentricities and charisma that they had. It was such a draw. And it was a big thing for the tag team division. You know, I really enjoyed Edge and Christian and the Dudleys. I really enjoyed Gangrel when he was around, the Brood, the bits that he had. I liked the big characters.
Right.
I enjoyed, however short lived it was, the Boogeyman.
Right.
He was a great character to me. I enjoyed guys like Brian Kendrick, Paul London.
Oh man, I love London and Kendrick. So good.
Yeah, I mean, I had some other guys like, you know, I enjoyed watching, you know, some ECW when I could get away with it. And, you know, Sabu was always a big favorite of mine just because he would do some of the more insane insane things. I mean, he was just willing to put it all out there.
Yeah. Do you have any favorites that are on television right now that you want to point out?
Right now, I am really enjoying Jurassic Express over on AEW.
Yes, my wife loves them.
I absolutely love them. The Fiend, I was enjoying for a while.
Yeah.
Until, you know, he was inconveniently lit on fire.
Right.
I haven't seen much. I honestly wish I could say I watched a lot of modern product, but I really don't. I catch my buddies when, you know, I see that they're going to be on AEW. I always try to make sure that I watch out for that. But a lot of the modern product, I don't know, it escapes me. I've spent so much of my time in locker rooms and doing it, and my mind has been so absorbed with the business that, I don't know, my Monday nights, I'd rather sit down and roll some dice or, you know, build in my workshop.
No, I totally understand that, man. I totally get it. So before we started recording, you told me you trained for about a year and a half before you actually got in the ring. Where did you train?
So my training experience, I think, is very unique compared to a lot of other guys. Pretty much the first time I took a bump was just coming to a show that Aiden was working on and helped set up the ring and was just hanging out ahead of time. And he was like, "You want to learn how to take a bump?" And just in the process of coming to shows, setting up these rings, and training with, you know, the 2 or 3 hours I had every Saturday or Sunday or Friday, whatever we had, you know, for a show that weekend. And I would just absorb as much knowledge as I could from whoever had shown up early and whoever was willing to take out enough time to talk to this 5'5", 125 pound kid that thinks he's going to be a wrestler, you know?
Right.
But there were a lot of people that stopped and took the time to do that. And there were a few different promotions that I spent time with where the, you know, promoters would even come out and, you know, take a moment to just share some of the experience that they had in the ring or some of the knowledge that they had. I jumped as soon as I could at any seminars that would present themselves.
Yeah.
Whether it was learning in-ring technique or how to manage my money on the road or how to get bookings when I was already set up and ready to go.
Yeah.
It was just this mad pursuit of knowledge. And I don't know. I felt like I had so much mat wrestling experience. I started that when I was like 5 years old and did it all the way up to high school.
Oh,
and
wow.
Some of the other aspects of wrestling I've also been utilizing and practicing for a long time as well, since I was, you know, 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And just the understanding of the story aspects and the athleticism, it was already kind of there. So I wanted to see how far I could go or how much I could learn before I stopped and paid somebody $2,000 to teach me how to do the same things that the guys in the locker room that, you know, I could make friends with, or, you know, whatever I could do to help them, you know, they could, you know, turn around and repay the favor, or however, just to try to absorb that knowledge and not try to come out of pocket, because I've never been somebody with a lot of money. You know, my family's never been huge into money. So that was almost my barrier that kept me from getting into the business until I was, you know, 23, 24.
Yeah.
You know, I would have jumped on it when I was 18 years old, been at a, you know, I'd have been at Tampa Bay Pro.
Right.
You know, I'd have been down there at that school in a heartbeat had I had the money to drop on it. You know, it would have been an instant. But it was just a way of trying to learn the business without spending everything I had.
No, I totally understand. That's crazy. So Aiden trained.
Yes.
And so you hadn't trained. You were just helping set up the ring. Am I understanding that right? And he asked you to take a bump, and that's how you started training.
Pretty much. I mean, there wasn't like a whole lot of precursor to it. I mean, there was a desire to do it, especially once I had seen Aiden do it, because I had been living out of state at the time when he started. And when I came back, it was like, bro, what happened? Wait, what? You're wrestling now?
Yeah.
How does that happen? And he was like, dude, just come to the shows, help out. You know what I mean? I'll show you what I know and we'll see what happens. You know, I know of a couple places if you're really serious. And I don't know. I was able to develop some relationships and friendships with people that they were just so willing to give up their knowledge and to help me grow that I ended up not having to go that route that a lot of other students do.
Yeah. That's really interesting, man. So did you, when you first heard that Aiden was a wrestler, like, did you know then that you wanted to become a wrestler, or did you not know until you took a bump?
Oh, no. I think it was at the point of knowing that he was doing it. Because it was always something that we wanted to do as kids. Yeah. You know, we had talked about it and everybody had always told us the same thing. You guys are way too small. There's no way you can do that. That's for big guys. You guys are less than 6 foot tall. No way you'll make it. But it's such an odd experience. But we went to a TNA show back in like 2010 or 2011. I honestly don't remember the story.
Yes.
Okay. And we were talking. So we're sitting across the island from Dixie Carter. There's a barricade between us. And we've had a conversation with her just chatting. And she goes, there's something in your guys' eyes that I can tell someday I'm going to see you in this business. I don't know why, like, even at that moment, I just kind of like shrugged it off. Like, yeah, okay. She's just being kind, whatever. But as soon as I heard that that opportunity was there or that it even really existed, I was like, awesome.
That's really cool, dude.
I was for it. I was there.
Yeah. That's awesome. What a story. So tell me a little bit, when I think of training, right? When people that aren't wrestlers think of training, we think of you guys, you know, rolling around the ring, falling on mats, that kind of stuff. Like, is there anything about training that the standard person might not know that you'd want to share?
It is an excruciating amount of cardio.
Okay.
And I will promise you, nobody wants to hear about your pain.
Keep right.
To yourself. Like, it's definitely not, it's not for everybody. Like, even those that are physically fit, there is a certain mental toughness that it takes to be able to do this. There is a certain it factor that you can't train into somebody. You either have it or you don't. And I really feel like it is that mental toughness that you gain over time, or that you're just innately born with, because there are so many punches that are thrown your way. There are so many people that want what you have, that are willing to literally do whatever it takes to get it. And if you're not on top of your game, and if you're not willing to push, it's not going to happen. It's such a mental game that I don't think people understand.
Okay. That is a cool thought. I have never thought of it that way before. So do you, like, before you actually get in the rings, when you're talking about like mental stuff, do you have anything you do like mentally to prepare for your match?
I mean, we have our ritual, which you've had my brother on.
And
I
Spider.
Know you had Spider on.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. I didn't make it to the show last week, and I talked to my brother, and just before the show, he said, hey, we just listened to it. I was like, you know what? I'm fixing to listen to it myself. And I forgot. And you want to know something, Matt? My brother cut his finger in the match just mysteriously. Yeah. Not sure how. We still can't figure out how it happened. But somehow he got hurt because I forgot to listen to Africa. I'm just saying, guys, it's
Alex,
real.
Alex, the Africa curse is real.
I did.
It's so funny to me that you guys do that, though. Like, it's so great.
But yeah, that's the main one. Me in particular, I do have like some pre-match rituals that I've had ever since I was mat wrestling. Yeah. Depending on how serious the match is, I've always told people, like, if I turn on Left Behind by Slipknot, it's time to leave me alone and let me get into my headspace.
Yeah.
That's a song that I listen to for sure when I need to take myself to another spot.
Is that your theme?
No, I wish, but I do not have rights to it and I wouldn't use it. I do.
What is your theme?
We have a custom song that was made for us. A friend of mine played bass in a band called Kellen Heller, and they were out of South Carolina, I believe. But he composed the song for us. His name's Brandon Moore, and I still use it to this day. It was our tag team theme, and I still use it. I've got a couple feelers out there, and a couple people I've got working on some projects for me on the singles side, but okay. Nothing just yet.
I gotcha. All right. So let's talk a little bit before we start talking about like your first match and stuff. You're taking a little bit of a hiatus right now, right?
Yeah, you could call it that.
So tell me what happened.
Last year I was able to capture the AIWF Southern Middleweight Championship. I was the first champion. Spider unfortunately missed the competition because he was being a little goofy and got himself injured. But I gave him a shot a little later on, and he ended up being able to swindle it out from under me with the help of some of his friends now that they've dubbed themselves the Kings of Hollywood.
Okay.
I had a tag match with my brother against a couple members of the Kings of Hollywood in Newton, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And Spider came out and tagged me with the belt. Naturally, I was a little hot about it and told him that he didn't deserve to have it and I wanted my shot. He posed to me that the only way I was getting my shot was by putting my SWA contract on the line. And I did. Unfortunately, I was not able to win that match due to some more rather underhanded tactics. Mm-hmm. But as underhanded as it was, I am a man of my word. And I took the leave of absence from the company, and just out of respect for them being a place that's sort of been my home for the last few years, I just decided not to take any bookings until I'm able to re-sign my SWA contract.
I gotcha. Well, I hope that's soon, man, because I know people miss you. Yeah. I watched a couple of your matches, and I know that those ladies were screaming your name.
Yeah, there are definitely some hot fans out there, especially in the Pavo area.
Yeah, that's really cool. So tell me, let's go back, let's rewind a little bit. And I want you to tell me about the first match you ever had in front of a crowd, and tell me how it went.
So my first match was in Alabama.
Roll Tide is where I'm from. What part?
Oh, what's the name of the town? I don't remember the name of the town. It's such a small little town. I think it started with an H. I don't remember. I was there. I think we did like two or three shows there. But I was wrestling with my brother. We did a tag match against a couple guys called the Heartbreakers.
Okay.
It was T-Bird and Caliman. We did win the match. No, we didn't, actually. Aiden got punched with a set of knuckles or something. It didn't go well. We ended up losing it. We were strong in it. I felt good about it. Mm-hmm. From a personal level, it definitely could have gone better.
Yeah.
But walking away from it and saying that was my first match, I feel good. I still feel good about it. I mean, it definitely could have been better, but it was a great starting point.
That's awesome, dude. It's really interesting because I get all kinds of crazy stories and for about people's first matches. So it's nice to know that it actually went pretty well.
Yeah.
There were
a couple hiccups here or there, you know, a couple botches, if you were.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I don't feel bad about it. Like, I don't feel embarrassed by any means to walk away from it and say that was my first match. Like, yeah. when I had said something to Callie at the end of it and I thanked him and I told him it was my first match. Like, I remember the look on his face and he was like, wait, that was your first? I was like, yeah, just because of how attentive I was. And, you know, I paid attention. You know, I think one thing a lot of new guys do is they get so excited and so antsy to be in there that they forget the main thing, to just shut up and listen. Like, right, these are vets. They know what they're doing and they can help you through it if you just pay attention, or it can go very, very bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think a lot of people learn that through time. I don't know if and you might know better than me, but I don't know if it's because people are young or stubborn or think they know better because they've been watching wrestling their whole lives. But yeah, man, all you got to do is get in there and pay attention, because that guy that's been wrestling for 10 years can absolutely carry you through that match.
Absolutely. I've been in matches with, like, for instance, I had a match with Chico Adams, I want to say a year and a half, 2 years ago now. And okay, he's one of those guys that, you know, you just listen, you know, he's so good at what he does. And it was amazing for him to, you know, take me under his wing and really just put together a solid match with the two of us, you know. Really thoroughly enjoyed it.
That's cool, dude. So let's move from your first match to your favorite. Tell me about your favorite match and why it was your favorite.
Oh, my favorite match is a match that we had. It was for number one contendership for the SWA tag titles. And it was Aiden and I against Task Force.
Man, they're so good.
Oh, it was such a great match. We had amazing chemistry, the four of us, and we ended up going to a time limit draw, which,
oh, wow,
thankfully, we did enough impressing that we were both put into a number one contender position, which didn't play well for the triple threat match that subsequently followed the next month, where we both walked away not champions, but hey,
right,
you know, sometimes the numbers game happens, and the ones that are champions are smart and know how to stay that. So,
yeah,
but true. Yeah, that match, we went almost a half an hour, and it was just, like I said, the chemistry was just amazing. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The crowd was very much into it. Like, I remember going back and watching the match. There's a moment that we have where they've sort of put my brother and I up on their shoulders, and they're spinning us around in the middle of the ring, and yeah, they set us down, and we go to punch each other, and we're all so dizzy that we just all sort of collapse. And it's something that's sort of goofy that a lot of people would just kind of, you know, oh, really, that's wrestling. But right, at that moment, like, it was such a perfectly timed moment that you hear a fan yell, "This should have been the main event."
That's, you know, great.
But it's like, it's that moment where you know that you have the fans, and you know that they're entertained, and you know that they feel good about the fact that they just spent $10-$15 on a ticket to come in for themselves. You know, they feel right, good about what they've done, and they feel good about what they're doing. They're not thinking about all the negative stuff that's going on at home or at work, whatever. They're here, they're having a great time, and that's what it's about.
That's cool, man. Yeah, and that's a really good thing, or a good viewpoint to have. And, you know, you do it for other people, right? And I'm sure you have an absolute blast when you're in that ring, but do it for kids or for fans, put a smile on their face. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy it thoroughly. But there are other things that I enjoy that take a less toll on my body that I can enjoy too.
Right.
But yeah, the fact that the fans enjoy it and that people are involved and invested the way they are, that's really what keeps me doing it and what keeps me driving forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you debuted, now tell me if I'm wrong, you debuted in the Syndicate alongside your brother, is that right?
I did.
So has your character really changed over the years? And if it has, tell me how.
I feel that over the years, I've gotten a little bit more aggressive in the ring than I used to be.
Yeah.
I used to play a little bit more games, have, you know, make jokes with my opponent, whatever. But taking some L's definitely changed my mindset. My moveset got to be a little bit more aggressive. I throw a lot more knees and elbows.
Yeah.
I move a lot quicker. I try not to stay in one place too long. I'm bouncing from corner to corner off the ropes, and you know, I move. I don't let these big guys grab me by any means. And if they do get me that close, and my elbows are hard, man, my head's still hard, I'm willing to throw that too. my brother and I have gotten infamous, man, for throwing headbutts.
That's awesome. Are you saying you're hard-headed?
A little bit. I mean, it comes with being a Taurus. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. So I know you've worked a lot as babyface. Have you worked as a heel? And if so, what do you like better?
I did spend a short time as a heel.
Okay.
And while it's nice to sort of get that demon out, if you were, I do enjoy the babyface because I enjoy the vibes. I enjoy being able to connect with the crowd. And from a storyteller's standpoint, I enjoy being that hero and being that catalyst between the struggle that they're having on the outside and what they're seeing me overcome here.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I really like that answer, and let me tell you why. Because basically everyone tells me, I like playing the heel. I like to control the match. It's easier to get fans to hate you. But that's a really cool answer, and I really dig it.
It is. It is so much easier to get fans to hate you. But at the same time, that's why I like being a face, because it's a challenge.
Right.
It's a challenge for somebody who is my size, who looks like me. I've got dreadlocks to the middle of my back. I've got a big old beard. You know what I mean? I look like this quintessential hippie you'd see on the side of the road. And it's like trying to get fans to connect with me and vibe with me is... It's a challenge. It's something that I look forward to. Yeah, it's easy for them to enjoy these big 6 foot, 7 foot corn fed boys. Like, yeah, that's what they do. They've been watching football and everything else their whole life. Now it's time to watch David come out and knock out Goliath.
Yeah. Now, are you actually 5'5"?
Yeah, 5'5", 5'6", somewhere in there. I don't know. I haven't taken out a measurement. I haven't taken out a ruler too long, and I try not to go to the doctor as often as I can, so, you know.
Right. So I've met Spider, so I know how short he is, and I saw you and Aiden next to him, and I'm like, they must not be very tall. So it's really cool that you guys can, you guys have made it in the local area, man. It's really great.
Yeah, it's definitely a blessing for sure. Like, honestly, the fans in the area, I don't think they understand like how much it means to us that they've embraced us the way they have and, you know, bought our t-shirts, bought the stickers, you know, come out and say like, I'm here to see the Nightmare Syndicate. You know, that means so much to us in this world of giants that we've been able to make waves.
That's so cool. So do you have any role models either in the wrestling industry or just in life?
So I don't know. Like there's so many people that I look up to. There's so many names that could come to my head, but it's a certain character that I look for. It's people that have overcome struggle. It's people that have been dealt that just awful hand and been able to figure out a way to win. Yeah. And it's those kinds of people, you know, I've seen so many in the wrestling business, you know, have their struggles with different addiction issues or different, you know, mental issues and struggles. And the ones that are able to come back swinging and be a champion again, or, you know, be able to capture the audience one more time, like, that I think is so important and so powerful. As just a tool to show people, like, it doesn't matter how low you get, like, you can always come back up.
That's really cool. That's really awesome. So you love, like, the redemption arcs, whether it's in wrestling or television or whatever.
Absolutely.
That's what you're into.
Absolutely. Like, if for me, a redemption arc, it's particular, though. It's not somebody who has done wrong and then something terrible happens to them and then all of a sudden they decide to do right. I don't like those redemption arcs by any means. But somebody who has struggled, somebody who has been dealt that awful hand, it's, you know, it's that, you know, for me. So, and to put it easy in terms that a lot of people understand biblical terms, the conversion from Saul to Paul,
right?
To me, I don't like that redemption arc. Job, on the other hand, I like Job.
Yeah.
You know, he's somebody who dealt with so much and so much just awful, and he just kept doing, just kept pushing. And you know what I mean? It pays off in the end. I don't like the redemption arc of do awful things and then something bad happens and all of a sudden you realize, oh no, I've been horrible. No one's gonna miss me when I'm gone. I must change my ways. Nah, man, you've had years. You've had years to do that.
Yeah. So my dad is a minister and he always tells the joke that the devil took away everything Job had except his nagging wife. And it's the truth. It's absolutely the truth.
But you know what, though? That might have been the anchor that he needed.
It's entirely possible. Oh, man. So I have an interesting question for you. I don't think I asked Aiden this, so I'll have to go back and ask him. I want you to tell me the most unique place you've ever wrestled.
The most unique place I've ever wrestled?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember where this place was. I really wish I could. But I just remember the ceiling only being about, like, when I couldn't stand, or I could stand on the top rope, but I had about 4 inches of clearance above my head.
Yeah.
I wasn't working the show, but I did train ahead of time and work there. it was strange. I'm trying to remember exactly where it was. It was somewhere in Florida.
Yeah.
But I can't remember off the top of my head. It was early on. I haven't been in too many odd places, really. A lot of fairgrounds, a church with DCCW. I've worked for them in the church a couple times, but
yeah,
it's not too strange. A lot of high school gyms, a few VFWs, nothing too crazy.
I gotcha.
Too off the wall. I did do what was that? It was some sort of benefit in Jacksonville we did off of A. Philip Randolph, I think was the name of the road. It was just outside of, like, downtown. We did a benefit out that way, which was, I wouldn't necessarily say odd or strange, but it was different in the way that we were just sort of in somebody's yard with the wrestling ring. But
really,
it was somebody's yard and they were having a benefit with giving away toys and stuff like that for the neighborhood kids around Christmas time, I think it was.
That's cool.
And yeah, we just came out. It was a free show. You know, I didn't take any money for doing it. Just came down and had a couple great matches, enjoyed myself. But that was the only time I've ever wrestled in somebody's yard.
That's interesting. I have not. See, that is unique. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody actually, like, you know, you hear backyard wrestling and stuff, but never like a promoted show. That's really interesting. Huh.
Don't know how promoted it was, but it was definitely in the neighborhood. The neighborhood definitely knew what was up.
That's awesome. So tell me this. If someone is listening to this podcast right now and they're like, man, I'm really inspired by Alex Knight, and I want to become a professional wrestler. What tips do you have, and what recommendations can you make for someone that wants to pursue a wrestling career?
Don't. No.
Too painful on the body?
I mean, no. I mean, there's definitely that realization of you have to understand that it is a toll on the body. And not just that, it is a toll with relationships and friendships and everything else. You're going to be traveling a lot. You know, if you're not mentally strong, and like I said, you'll fall victim to some vices that are out there for sure.
Yeah.
But if you want to get involved and you're serious about it, I would highly recommend, if you can afford it, go to a school. There are so many solid schools out there, especially down here in the South in Florida. If you can afford it, go to a school. If you can't, go to a show. If you've got some real drive, like, go to a show and talk to somebody and see what you can do. See what bug you can put in somebody's ear. The worst thing somebody can tell you is no. And if you don't ask, they've already told you no.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way of thinking. Huh. So I'm going to ask you a very difficult question.
Oh, no. Here we go.
If you could wrestle anyone from any point in wrestling history, who would it be and why?
Ooh. If I could wrestle anybody in history. See, my thing is, it would have to be a big guy. But it would have to be a big guy that knows how to work with a little dude.
Okay.
Somebody like Big Show, honestly, because the things that he's like, he's somebody that knows how to tell a story with a small dude. Like, some of his matches that he's had with Rey Mysterio and, you know, some of the smaller guys where he goes out and it's a squash match, quote, but the little dude still gets his, you know, still has that moment where it's like, oh, they got the giant on the knee. Oh,
right.
You know, I've had that moment. I've been in that match with the big guy where the promoter comes back and says, yeah, dude, you're not going to take a bump for them. Don't do that. That's dumb. They literally weigh as much as your leg. Like, each one of them are your legs. Like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? And then we get out there and the dude's like, no, so here's what we're going to do. Y'all are going to hit this big barrage of this, and this, and then you're going to DDT me, and you're going to get me down for one, and I'm going to kick out, and I'm going to throw you guys across the ring when I kick out, but you're going to have that moment, you know, and it's like having a guy like that you could tell a story with. You know, I've never wanted to have the indie-rific match with a million spots because, honestly, my cardio is not that good. I really wish I could say it was, but it's not. I would just want to have a match with, like I said, one of those big guys that I could just tell a story with, someone like The Big Show or even The Undertaker, you know what I mean? Right. Somebody who really just knows how to tell a story.
Okay, that makes sense. So, speaking of stories, that's a good little segue. Thank you for that. Do you have any cool stories you'd like to share, maybe from the road?
Cool stories from the road? I don't know. I've met a lot of cool people. I remember one time I met the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro. I met him in a Walmart in Jacksonville one time
before. Oh, really?
I was fixing to catch a flight out to Michigan, and I forgot the tag holder for the little like name tag for my bags, and ran to Walmart to go grab them, and walking through the store and passing by like the food aisle, and I sort of looked and double took for a second, but I was like, no, that's not him. And I'd seen him a second time, just sort of like passing, and I was like, no, that's him. But at the same time, I had that thought, like, four or five people recognized him too. And I could just like see the look on his face that was like, this is why I come to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So I can avoid this. And I'm just, you know, trying not to say anything. I'm not going to get involved because I understand, you know, he's a human too, just like me. And some avoiding it and avoiding it. And eventually I cross paths with him another time. And my mother happens to be with me. And she makes it a point to say to this dude, like, hey, my sons know you from TV and they've seen you in Jacksonville. And I'm like, and I'm just like, I'm standing there with like my hand over my face, like, Mom, please, next thing you know, you're going to tell them that we're trying to be professional wrestlers.
Yeah,
and
they want to be the
professional wrestlers. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yes.
You know, and it was just like that moment, like there was like that awkward, just kind of like, yeah, okay.
Well, thanks, Mom.
You know what I mean? And it was just kind of like, I took the moment to just kind of be like, yeah, dude, since you've already stopped and you're already out of the way, let me just say, thanks. I appreciate what you do. You know, keep doing it. You know, that's what I try to keep most of my interactions to with a lot of people, especially those of sort of celebrity type status. Unless they engage further with me, it's just a, hey, I appreciate it. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you have done and, you know, been able to do for us.
That is, first of all, that's a great story. Secondly, your mom sounds just like my mom. She would do the exact same thing. So it's absolutely hilarious. And like, I know, like I felt the pain as you were telling the story, man. It's so great.
I can't tell her no. I can't tell her what to do. She's, when she gets her mind set to something or when she's gonna, she's like, no, I can do it. I can say something. It's like, Mom, really don't. Like, he's just trying to get some eggs. Like, leave the man alone.
That's awesome.
He's trying to get protein and y'all want pictures. Come on now.
Oh my gosh. All right. So tell me what your finisher is.
So I've started doing a variation of sort of like the 619,
okay.
Except instead of throwing the two legs and trying to kick him in the face, I just lead with one knee. I figured it's, you know, a little bit harder. It's pretty efficient. And, I also have a DDT that I do as well. If, that doesn't do the trick.
Okay. That's awesome, dude. That's really cool. Well, tell me a little bit about where we can find you. I know right now that you don't have a contract, but we're hoping that you're going to have one again real soon. So tell me a little bit about where we can follow you on social media. That way, when you do get back in the ring, we'll know.
Well, I am on Facebook. You can find me at The Nightmare Alex Knight. That is my like page on Facebook. Do spell it like a regular nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
As well, I am on Instagram at The Real Alex Knight. I am also on Twitter by the same handle. I don't use Twitter that often, but I am there.
Yeah, we have a Twitter. We don't use that much either. I basically use our Twitter for to post our Instagram for my Instagram feed. That's pretty much it.
I get on Twitter to check some people's feeds that only have Twitter.
Right.
Just to kind of see what's going on, but I honestly open my Twitter account maybe twice a week.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. Honestly, guys, I'm going to apologize ahead of time if you're coming to my social medias. I am so, so terrible with social media. I do my best, and I appreciate those of you that commit and find them, but I am so bad with social media. I'm so bad with it.
That's fine, man. A lot of people are. Don't you worry about it. And also, we can find a lot of your matches on YouTube. I saw a match against Spider, saw a match against El Nino. There were a couple others up there, too.
Oodles and noodles of matches. If you head over to YouTube and you search Nightmare Syndicate, tag team name, KNIGHTMAREsyndicate. Search that on YouTube and you will find plenty, plenty of matches for your viewing pleasure. Like I said, the one with us in Task Force is just beautiful.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, thank you very much for hanging out with us, chatting with us for, gosh, almost an hour at this point. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, dude. We'll do it again. Don't you worry.
I will be around. I'm here for it. I really enjoyed myself.
Awesome. Thanks, dude. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Matt Sen. This has been Indie Focus. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Wrestle Life Radio and on Twitter at Wrestle Life Pod. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Wrestle Life Matt. We hope you all Have an absolutely wonderful day, and don't forget to hashtag support indie wrestling. Thanks, guys.